A Republican from Tomahawk has been elected as the new state Senate president for the upcoming legislative session. It's Friday, November 8th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, following the passing of a Milwaukee alder, one of his former colleagues is pushing for more action on gun reform. And Kenosha police say a possible school shooting has been prevented. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
Wisconsin's new state Senate president says Republicans are focused on addressing health care and prison challenges and returning the state's surplus to taxpayers. Senate Republicans elected Mary Felskowski of Tomahawk to preside over the chamber in the upcoming legislative session. She replaces former GOP Senate President Chris Kapinga. Democrats were able to flip four Senate seats in Tuesday's election, but Felskowski says Republicans' 18-15 edge in the Senate is still a healthy majority.
So we've lost the ability to override the governor's veto in the Senate, but we never had that ability in the Assembly. So it was kind of like a moot point. We have a three-person majority in the Senate, which for a purple state like Wisconsin is still a very healthy majority.
The Senate's top member, Devin Lemahue, was re-elected as majority leader by his fellow Republicans as well. Former Democratic state lawmaker and Milwaukee alder Jonathan Brostoff died by suicide earlier this week. As Evan Casey explains, one of his former colleagues is now advocating for gun reform, which Brostoff supported.
Brostoff served on the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention in 2019. In an op-ed he wrote that year, he shared that he had attempted suicide more than once. Democratic Senator Chris Larson said Brostoff pushed for red flag laws to help prevent suicides. More than half of Wisconsin's suicides in 2022 involved a firearm. Larson says he wants to make a renewed push for laws that temporarily restrict gun access for people who might be a risk to themselves or others.
That's going to be part of our discussion in this next legislative session, and as long as I'm a legislator, I'm going to keep pushing for that.
Brostoff was 41. He leaves behind a wife and four daughters. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And a quick note, if you or someone you know is in crisis, help is available by calling or texting 988. That's the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Wisconsin energy experts say President-elect Donald Trump will set back efforts to combat climate change. As Daniel Kading reports, that's likely to slow the clean energy transition, but not stop it entirely.
Trump is likely to pull the nation out of the Paris Climate Agreement as he did during his first term. Climate and clean energy policies under President Joe Biden have sped up efforts to combat global warming, but those would likely be reversed. That's according to Greg Nemeth. He's an energy expert and public affairs professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. While the clean energy transition is likely to slow, Nemeth says costs have come down on things like wind and solar.
Still have access to these technologies, so it's not like they're blocked. They're just going slower at a time where we need them to be going faster.
Trump has said he will boost oil production and rescind unspent funds under the Inflation Reduction Act. Clean energy advocates say the law has spurred more than $900 million of investment in the state. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Police in Kenosha say a possible school shooting was thwarted yesterday when staff confronted a teenager who had entered an elementary school carrying suspicious bags. Police say the teenager was armed. They say the 13-year-old later surrendered to officers and is now in custody. At a press conference, Police Chief Patrick Patton said the teen shared concerning video and made comments to other students for weeks leading up to the incident. The chief showed one of those videos with a teenager carrying an AR-15-style rifle and appearing to, quote, be practicing room entry techniques.
This is something that should have been known. This is something that had been told to people of his growing intentions. We know that there's internet searches, and all the red flags that we would look for and expect someone to report were there, and we're coming up for and saying we narrowly missed a tragedy today.
Patton urged parents to talk to children about reporting threatening comments. Coming up, some people have fears and they like to live with them. Others like to deal with those fears head on. For me, I'm afraid of heights and I will just not deal with that, thank you very much. In today's episode of Wisconsin Life, one Waukesha man faced his fear by going cave crawling. Stay with us.
Larry is news you can use.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on your show again as we move inexorably towards spring.
Wondering how hot this summer is going to be?
You know, everything has been a month early this year.
Well, I think we got warm in February.
We did. This year was just, this year was weird across the board, as we all know.
The Larry Miller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Steve Gotcher with a story about cave crawling.
For some, the thought of descending into the depths of a dark, tight cave is the stuff of nightmares. For Robert Root of Waukesha, the challenge of facing that fear was a journey he needed to take.
I'm the only one signed up for the cave tour at the Ledgeview Nature Center, but Jane Mangari, the assistant naturalist, agrees to lead it. Despite a fear of tight, dark places, I'd resolved to explore a cave. Now I have no excuse to back out. We walk to the entrance on the roofs of caves. Jane explains how the solution caves below us were carved by seepage of rain and snowmelt that sometimes became underground streams and even waterfalls. The ground beneath us is honeycombed with chambers and channels. The Carolyn's Caverns cave system is over 700 feet long. It's accessible part of the year for tours, but closed from October to May for bat hibernation. Its first room, the bat room, has an opening in its steel door for bats, big brown, little brown, long-eared, and tricolored bats, to enter and exit. Jane urges me to explore two side rooms. I smile gamely and commit myself to crawling and clambering. I squirm on my belly in and out of one narrow passage and climb down a ladder into a small enclosed space with a muddy bottom. I hope I've acclimated myself to what's ahead. We wander through other rooms and passages, stepping carefully on the uneven floor, wary of protrusions near our heads. I bend, I stoop, I crawl on my hands and knees, and I slither outright. Only one space is especially tight, less so for Jane than for me, but crawling through passages like the whale's throat and the kid's passage means venturing into long, dark holes with no chance to raise my head or propel myself by any means other than elbows and thighs. I try not to think about getting stuck, and soon realize I don't need to think about it. When we descend to Carolyn's Cave, the original entrance to the system, we're 17 feet below the surface. At the bottom of Dave's sink, the deepest room, we're 36 feet, four stories underground. At times, bending to look down a dark passage, I feel the lure of crawling in to see just how far it would take me, how tangled and interconnected the cavities might be. Jane illuminates layers of Silurian strata, fossils, miniature stalactites, chert and cave coral. She steers me around hungry mud, the sticky pools on the cave floors, remnants of times the caves have been flooded, at least once as much as 18 feet deep. By the time we make the long crawl through the whale's throat back to the bat room, I'm busy thinking about the slow and relentless formation of the caves, the scale of their existence. Despite the weight of the rock strata above me, the density of the walls around me, the impenetrable darkness beyond this room, I feel no eagerness to leave the caves. When we reach daylight, I feel no sense of relief. I suppose you could say I confronted my fear of crawling in caves and overcame it. It seems to me more likely that I was too absorbed in where I was to notice my fear. Neither the caves nor my guide would let me think about that.
Author Robert Root of Waukesha brought us that essay on cave crawling. And his story has been turned into an animation. Check it out in the newest season of PBS Wisconsin's Wisconsin Life or online at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Steve Gotcher.
I'm okay living with my fears if it means I don't have to go crawling through a cave. Shout out to Steve for bringing us that story. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We're back in your podcast feed again on Monday morning. Until then, have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.